Blog Talk Radio.
Perez is going to close in prayer for us this evening. So I'm just going to welcome
Pastor Kathy Holland to the show. Pastor Holland, you there?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm just going to bring on another special guest as well. And then Apostle Perez, welcome to the show.
God bless you. God bless you all.
Right. Pastor Holland, if you can open up in prayer for us this evening.
Sure. Our Father, our God, as we come, Lord, we come, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord God, to speak a word for you, Lord God, to hear your songs, Lord God, and to just give you praise, God, again on this evening. Father, we thank you for all those that are on the airway, God. Lord, send who you know need to receive some encouragement, Lord God, during this blessed season, Lord God, that we turn into a season, Lord God, of depression sometimes. Father, we thank you for our apostle that's on the phone all as well, Lord God. We thank you for our host, Lord. We ask for supernatural strength, Lord God, to be poured upon her right now, Lord God, for she said her body is tired, Lord God. But we know, God, that you give us just what we need when we need it most. So, Father, we just pray that everything that is said and done, Lord God, will be pleased unto you, Lord God, and that you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I just want to start off by saying I thank both of you for joining us this evening. A funny story, we haven't been on the air in 2 weeks. Original Sunday that we didn't go on the air, we had an event. And then last week, Sunday, I just had so much going on, and the devil was just busy with me, just home, at work, at home, just all over the place. And it was extremely hard, and I just sat and I just prayed. And I said, you know what, mentally I just can't, you know, I can't do it. You know, I said the whole show would have been about me and, you know, me feeling, you know, all beat up and everything. So I said, you know what, I'm not going to do it. So I prayed on it, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to sit still and not do the show. And then last night, because I've been working a lot, and last night I actually sent out a couple of, you know, inviting people to come on the show. And Pastor Holland, I sent you the question first, and then I sent the question to Apostle Perez. And I'm doing all of this from my cell phone at work because I worked a double. So I didn't get off until midnight, and then I just couldn't fall asleep. The weather was bad. And then long story short, Pastor Holland, you said yes, and then Apostle Perez, he said yes, but I didn't get a chance to respond to him. And then I responded to him today, and then I wasn't able to get back on Facebook. So, nonetheless, you know, I do want to welcome both of you to the show, and we're going to just have a wonderful show. I was saying, you know, I do miss being, you know, on the air. You know, kind of feel a little lost, you know, a little lost without spiritual time, because it's programmed in my head that every Sunday at 7 o'clock. But not, you know, being able to do it was a struggle. But enough about me. How are you both doing this evening?
Well, go ahead, Pastor. I'm going to ask the woman of God to go first. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Praise God. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am just grateful to God for this season. I am grateful for God to every season, for every day the Lord allows us to live. Sometimes within a day, we go through four seasons. But I thank God that I'm never alone in any season, in any given day. I have been busy myself, been doing a lot of things, you know, just trying to continue to do the work that the Lord has assigned to me in pastoring New Vision Baptist Church, which we just celebrated 4 years. Amen. And we praise God for that. And being first-time pastor, helping to found and establish our church, and I'm just grateful to God that he has blessed us, and I thank him as we go into our fifth year, which I preached on our anniversary, that five, a spiritual number, is divine grace. So I'm looking for the great things that the Lord's going to do in our fifth year, and my church is motivated, I am motivated about doing the work of the Lord, and I just praise God that I am on here tonight. It's been a long time. And I just thank God. And woman of God, we thank you, amen, for opening up the airways for, you know, whatever way we can get God's word out. We just thank God for it. We thank God for modern technology. And we pray God's continued blessings of continuous work, go about the things that you have to do. So we just thank God. And thank you, man of God, for allowing me to go first.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Apostle Perez.
Amen. God bless you. I thank God for each and every one that's listening. I thank God for the woman of God that's given him this opportunity. And I heard the pastor, what she said, pertaining to seasons. Amen. The seasons that we're living in. Amen. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yes.
But out of them all, the Lord shall deliver us. And it's imperative we understand that, because in the beginning, while we're going through, we don't understand. And that's why we need to constantly inquire in the presence of the Lord, because it's not so much that we're asking the Lord, take me out of this season, or how long is it, but more, we're more interested in, where mature minds are more interested in, and spiritual minded are more interested in, what benefit, what good is going to come out of it. And when your faith is elevated, you can say, I can do. I know that everything will work together for good. That is to those that have been called according to divine purpose. That's why we must stay in the presence of the Lord. There's 14 major seasons that everybody goes through. There's a season of affliction. There's a season of solitude. There's seasons of warfare. There's seasons of suffering. There's seasons of ignorance. That's the season where you don't know if it's the devil, if it's God, or you made a mistake, or maybe you're incurred in a curse, consciously or unconsciously. Season of ignorance. Season of carnal desires. Season of contention. Seasons of persecution. Seasons of proving yourself. Seasons of disloyalty. Season of isolation. Seasons of injustice. Seasons of supernatural intervention. Seasons of deliverance. But in every season, we got to walk in victory. Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And it's funny that you said that, because when I was sitting in a, well, first, I do want to thank, I have been, we had a special guest, Evangelist Angela Parker. She's with Partners in Prayer Global Ministries. And she has a prayer line that is Monday to, oh, I hope I don't get it wrong, Monday to Thursday, 6:45 Eastern time. And it's from Monday to Thursday. And then Friday is the same time, but it's a different number. And then Saturday and Sunday, they do different things on their ministry. And I do want to just give a special thank you to them, because as I was going through the storm, you know, she gave me the number and she said, you know what, listen, just call in. And it had perfect timing, because that's usually the time that I'm driving to work anyway. You know, so I definitely want to just take the time and just give a special thank you to Partners in Prayer, Global Ministries, CEO and founder is Evangelist Angela Parker. But before we continue, I just want to go to a song, because we do have a caller that I'd like to bring on the air with us this evening. And the other point that I was going to make was, it was funny that you said that, if it was, you know, ignorance or the devil. And I can say, with the struggle that I've been going through, it was both. You know, and I know that for everyone's like, huh? Yes, it was both. Because a part of me was just me being extremely stubborn and just, you know, wanting things the way I wanted them, and not trusting God that he'll make everything okay. And I have to learn to do that a lot more and just trust him more instead of trying to be misfixed myself. So I've been reading more, and I've just been, you know, just trusting God and just thanking God more for the little things. You know, even when I'm upset, I'm thanking him for my health and strength, and just praying for discernment and just praying for understanding. And it's helping me, you know, be a better person, because I find myself a lot more humble, you know, than I was before. Before, I'm like, you know what, I have a solution. You know, this is a problem, I have a solution, I'm going to fix it. And now I'm just learning more to just trust God with everything. And, you know, my 2 weeks of not being, you know, on the air, it was a big things, because when I tell you mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, just drained, you know, and not knowing which direction to go to, but praying, but not giving it to God. And now that I've been sitting and I've been praying more and I've been giving it to him, I feel a lot better. You know, I feel, you know, I feel tired because I'm working my doubles, but I just feel more at peace from within. So I just like to say, you know, for anyone that is going through something and they're having a hard time, you know, finding a solution to it, you know, the solution will come to you if you just leave it all in God's hand and just trust him. And I'm working on that myself. Definitely. We're going to go to a song, and then we're going to bring on our first caller. Amen.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank him. Just thank him.
I almost let go.
Welcome back to GT Palace Virtual Sunday. We're going to bring on our first caller this evening. Welcome to GT Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is T.
Hi, T.
Hey, everyone, and my sister.
Good evening. God bless you.
Yes,
I want to tell you, Lavina. Yes,
and
I love my baby. I love my big sister too. But I want to tell you, Lavina, you definitely been missed. And I want you to know that I have been praying for you, as always, as we do as a family, and that God has your back because he's got mine. You know, we all go through struggles, but, you know, like you tell me all the time, we got to leave it up to God. Let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to, I'm just thankful for life itself. I'm thankful that with the little fall that I had Thanksgiving, that it wasn't no worse than it was, you know, because it could have been worse. And slowly recovering, but still struggling from it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just want everybody to keep me in prayer as well.
Amen. You know, we'll definitely keep you in prayer. T, of course. Well, you know, you have Pastor Kathy Holland as well. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have Pastor Kathy Holland, and it's funny because my coworker was saying, you know, it would be nice if you had someone that you could, you know, call and talk to, and they could just pray for you. And I said, yeah, you know, you're right. And she said, well, you have a lot of people. And I said, you know what? With Spiritual Sunday, I've came in, you know, contact, you know, through God, because he's a person that made it possible. So many different spiritual leaders from all over the world. And it's a wonderful feeling. And, you know, when I post up on Facebook or, you know, Instagram or Twitter, and, you know, they actually show the support of, you know, are you okay? Is everything all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And then as soon as they say, I'm going to call you, I said, no, don't call me. It's okay. It's okay. And that's only because as soon as they hear my voice, they'll know that something is troubling me, you know. And I must, you know, say that we thank everyone, you know, for as long as GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, you know, has been, you know, going. We've had a lot of different people, you know, with us here, and a lot of different special guests, and I just want to thank everyone, and everyone is unique in their own way, and, you know, everyone is here to do, you know, the job that God has called them to do, and I'm thankful, and I'm truly thankful, and I'm working on myself, see, I'm working, and I'm praying, and I know that, you know, the battle that I'm going through right now is, you know, I have to leave it to God, and, you know, he knows the end result, and I just got to trust him more. And, you know, I do want to apologize, you know, to the GQ Palace family, because, you know, when you're down, you kind of go into shutdown mode, you know, where you don't really want to be bothered, you know, with people. And, you know, you don't want to talk to certain people, but it's nothing against them personally. You know, it's just that you're going through so much, and it's overwhelming, and you're trying to fix everything. You know, we have Crossroads Temple. We have Brother Scribby Hunter, and his son actually passed away last Sunday. He did his show, and when he did his show, he was explaining how his 8-year-old son had cancer, and that, you know, he was looking for prayer, you know, everyone to, you know, just keep him in their prayers and everything. And then on Wednesday, when the Diva Squad had their show, I sent them a message letting them know that, you know, we had just got the phone call that his 8-year-old son had died of cancer. So I definitely just want to tell him that, you know, we're praying, you know, for him and his family, you know, because we know that it's a difficult time right now when they're, you know, looking for the closure. And he had posted up on Facebook that through it all, you know, through all the storm that he's going through, you know, he just wants to tell God, thank you. And it was Pastor Holland, I believe you had called in on Sunday, and you were on the air with him as well. And, it, you know, unfortunately, you know, he did pass on Wednesday. You know, his son passed on Wednesday. And he's going through it. He's going through it right now. And after Spiritual Sunday, it's usually, you know, Crossroad Temple. And he's not going to be doing Crossroad Temple tonight. So I'm just asking for all the spiritual leaders to keep him in prayer, him and his family in prayer. And, you know, especially, you know, like today, tomorrow when holidays is coming, it's going to be hard. So if everyone just has to keep him in prayer. And we'll be closing prayer tonight. If someone can please just say a prayer for him, you know, because he needs the comfort. You know, he needs the comforting. And it's just hard. You know, it's hard. And it's what, how do you comfort someone, you know, like that when you haven't been through that situation? And he's thankful, you know, and he's positive, and he's trusting in God, and he's leaving it to God, and, you know, his son isn't suffering anymore. So I just want to make sure that we all just keep him in prayer. We're going to go to another caller. Welcome to GC Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Absolutely. Minister L. Weathersby, Wilmington, Delaware.
Hi, Minister Weathersby. Look, welcome back to Spiritual Sunday.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to be back. Matter of fact, I did try calling in a couple times, but I didn't know. But apparently, you guys weren't operating at the time. But God is good, and it's good to be able to hear you.
There's like a there's an echo or some squeaking or something. And I'm not sure what it is exactly.
Hey, I hear something.
It sounds like somebody has something on too high with their phone or something.
Yeah, so if everyone could just check their phones and make sure they're not by the speaker, it's greatly appreciated. But yes, we didn't do our Sunday show for two weeks in a row. I didn't do mine for 2 weeks, and Brother Scribby, he does the Crossroad Temple. He didn't do his for 1 week. So yes, but we're back. You know, we're back.
Praise
and
the Lord.
I'm definitely gonna, you know, do Spiritual Sunday tonight. And Brother Hunter, as I was explaining, his son passed away, so he's not doing Crossroad Temple, but he'll be back up and running next week Sunday.
We're praise God.
All right. Would you like to share your testimony or what you're thankful for this evening?
Well, I'm just grateful and thankful for God affording me yet another day. Amen. For us to do whatever it is that we do in his name. You know, God is doing, he's great. He's greatly to be praised. That's all I know. And, you know, there's many things that we can say about what the Lord is doing for us. But the greatest thing that he's doing is allowing me to just to do what I can do for him. Amen. That's, I ain't got nothing else more than that.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's good enough, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. That's good.
Amen. We're giving him all the honor, the praise, and the glory, because anything
that's
that we
where
do,
it all goes.
It's all done by him, through him, and for him. Amen. It's not about me, but it's all about him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What we're going to do is we're just going to go to a song and then we're going to come back on the air. Amen.
Never let a day go by, and I realize
Welcome back to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Is everyone still there?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
I heard you, T. I heard you. We're waiting for Apostle Perez. I think I just got him back. Apostle Perez, you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. All right, so I just want to make sure that I announce also that the phone lines are open. The number to call is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. We do have a lot of listeners today, and I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. for everyone that is listening in. And if you'd like to go on the air and share your testimony or say what you're thankful for, just press the number 1. Anyone that's listening from the computers, you do have to dial in at 646-200-3838. But before we continue, I definitely just want to ask Apostle Perez to just explain to everyone a little bit about his ministry.
Amen. God bless you all. I thank God for the woman of God, Prophetess Lavina Polite. Amen. We thank God, amen, for the pastors on the line that I met. The other gentleman from Wilmington, Delaware, he's on my neck of the woods because I'm in North Delaware.
Oh.
So we're close in proximity. Amen. So we thank God for you. Everything you said was in accordance. I just like the fact that this line is flowing in such a harmony, in such a spirit of unity. And when I feel that, I just feel the presence of the Lord. I really feel the anointing. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Well, I'm just a humble servant that loves the Lord. I have a passion for God's presence. I'm addicted to God's presence. Let me put it like that. I'm addicted to God's presence.
Amen. Amen.
And I love the Lord. I love God's people. Amen. I love God's people. I believe in the miraculous. I believe in the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
I believe that this is a season to not just be a God chaser, but a God provoker. I believe that we ought to provoke God into manifestation. And that's what I'm about. You know, I believe, I take Jesus as a word. I believe God's word so much that if the scripture said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it, no questions asked.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's where I'm at, and that's what I do love to do. I do preside over a fellowship by the grace of God. Amen. And I do host 2 prayer lines on Wednesdays. And on Friday from 5 o'clock in the morning to 7, and Friday the same thing. And we have a wonderful group of people, the majority women. I'm calling out the men to join them. Amen.
Amen.
I'm calling out the men.
Amen.
I believe if we could get the men in prayer, our homes would be better off. Our children would be better off. Our matrimonies would be better off. Our marriage and ministry. So, you know, I've been praying for that. God, and you know, we have a few men, maybe 1, 2, or 3, and they may join. And but we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. By faith, you know, that's one of the things that the Lord instructs me. One thing that I like to do is be led by the Spirit of God. I don't like to do anything just to do it. I like to be led by the Spirit. One of the things that the Lord told me was induce my people in my presence. And one of the things that I wanted to do was that. Was starting a prayer line. Next year we're going to start something called, you know, a prayer tower, 24 hours, where we're going to have people praying 24 hours, various people taking different slots and covering everybody, you know, because we do pray heavy for leadership. Well, that's one of the first things we do in our prayer line. We pray heavy for leadership. We pray heavy for pastors and prophets and evangelists, amen. And I believe that in this season, this coming year, 2014, God is going to restore the spirit of the evangelist, the anointing of the evangelist. I believe that God is going to restore, as in the book of Acts chapter 8, God is going to restore back into the... And you may say, what do you mean restore back? I believe that we've been... Let me just say this. I won't be misinterpreted. I'm an apostle by the grace of God. I throw in the prophetic ministry. But I think that sometimes we've been caught up in titles and positions. We're supposed to do the task that we're called to do. And I believe that God is going to restore the office of the evangelist. Because everybody wants the big title, but nobody wants to get their hands dirty. Amen. Roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty and then become a soul winner. And that's what it's about. The thing that we need to question ourselves is, since I've been saved, how many people have been saved through my ministry, and how many people have I discipled, and how many people have I empowered? And another thing that the Lord has called me to do is to start mentoring classes. I have about 20 people that I'm mentoring, and I'm telling you, they're on their way. And I tell you, you know what's sad? Some of them been in the church 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Never really seen the power of God. Never ever heard about certain things in Scripture. And sometimes I wonder, I know it's not the leader's default. I believe that it's a lack of hunger. It's a lack of hunger. And I believe that as leaders, we need to be more strategic and pray. What is the heart of God? What is God saying in this season? And the people need to get back to that hunger. You know, Matthew 24:12 says that in the last days, people's love will wax cold. And the first love that I believe that waxes cold is toward God and the things of God. So I'm saying to say this. I believe that the spirit and the anointing of Philip the Evangelist is coming back to the church, where people are going to start taking seriously souls. This is a season to preach on the highways and byways and the hedges, everywhere we go. We got to be a witness. But then signs and wonders must follow us. Jesus said, in my name you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out devils. That's minimum. Notice it didn't say preachers, apostles, and just prophets exclusively as an elite group. It said believer. So that means that as a believer, the minimum is for you to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Minimum. You know? Minimum. And, you know, in 3 years and a half that Jesus was in ministry, the Bible records in Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 25, that had they written everything that Jesus said and done, the writer said there would not be enough books. There will not be enough libraries that will hold that much books. And yet Jesus turned around and told his disciples, greater works than what I have done, you shall do also. So that means we got a lot of catching up to do. And we need to start operating in the supernatural. The only way to do it is to consecrate ourselves, get into deep prayer. I'm not talking about wishy-washy prayer. I'm talking about deep prayer and in fasting. Now, you may hear me and say, well, he's an old man. No, I'm not. I'm barely 41 years old. And if you look at my picture, I look like a baby. Amen. But I got an old school anointing. Amen. And I've been raised by my praying grandmother. So I took upon what she left me as an example. She said these things and I'm done. Augie, the fastest way of getting up is getting down on your knees. And that's all I have to say for now.
Amen.
To God
Amen.
Be the glory. And be honest.
Amen. We're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to Cheeky Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Evangelist Williams.
Hi, Evangelist Williams. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Good.
It's been
good.
A while. Good to hear from you.
Yes. Yes. Same to you. Same to you.
I just want to... Thank you. Praise the Lord. I just want to comment on what the Apostle... was speaking on being an evangelist. I know that this is the season for the evangelist, but I also believe it's a season for the apostolic call to come back, for the fivefold ministers to come back in the power of God. Like he said, it is a season for us to see the signs and wonders and greater works shall we do, but it is a time to get down on our face and to humble ourselves and ask God, what is it you want from me? Not so much what, you know, we're always got our hands out, but now it's time for us to get on our face and ask the Lord, what is it you need me to do? What is my assignment for this season? Where is the harvest? Where am I to go? What direction am I to take? It's time for us to get back to the old way and to ask the Lord and, you know, to seek the Lord, seek his face until we know exactly what he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. You know, the church is, there was a great falling away, and we know there's a great falling away, and we know that the world has infiltrated the church, but now it's time for the church to get up and put their armor back on and go out there and fight and do what God's called them to do in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And would you like to share a little bit of your testimony or what you're thankful for this evening?
I'm just thankful for being alive. I'm thankful that God has kept me this far. I've had gone through a storm this year, this season. I'm looking for 2014 to be a blessed year. some things that have been broken off of me, some chains that have been broken. I know that God has done that for a purpose for what's getting ready to come. I just thank him for my life, health, and strength. I just thank him for being who he is and that he chose me to go forth and do what he's called me to do. I'm just grateful for the love and for the blood that he shed for me on Calvary. I just want to thank him that I'm still alive this time for this season to do whatever it is he's called me to do. As the evangelist, as the woman that he's called me, I just have a heart after his heart, and I just want people to know that God is still in the saving business. And if he can save me from doing drugs and alcohol and fornicating and abortion and all that madness that I did in the world, I wanted to have that same fire that I did, that I worked for the enemy. I want that same fire that to do it, the work for God. Amen.
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 Amen. And I just want to point out, you brought out a good thing, and you said breaking chains. And I want to take a minute to thank God for breaking some chains in my life and just helping me see clearly, you know, on a lot of situations, you know, and sometimes you got to let go, you know, of things, whether you understand them, you know, or not. But you kind of got to just, like, leave it alone. Like, okay, you know, all right, God, give me the answer. What you want me to do? Just tell me what you need me to do. And then, you know, be a willing participant to do it. And I can speak for that one. Trust me, I can speak on that one.
Yeah.
We're going to bring another caller on the air real fast.
Yes,
welcome.
Hello.
To Call Us Sunday. Hey.
Hey, Zamina.
Hey.
Hi, everybody on the line. How's everybody today?
Blessed.
Hey, amen. Listen,
amen.
That's one of the ultimate testimonies right there. Anybody, I think, is to, if you can say that you're blessed and solely mean it, then hey, there's no greater feeling, you know, to have that, you know, the feeling of being blessed, to know how the love of Christ, you know, we're saved by grace, but how, you know, you can see the love of Christ all around you and stuff like that. Well, and I just want to say on this evening how, you know, the message in my service today was on resentment and how it poisons you. It's very poisonous. And you know, if you're holding on to something that has happened, and, you know, and it just hit home for me because as far as myself, it was with myself and my biological father. Now, I resented him a whole lot, you know, and I got to a place one time where, you know, I tried to accept him in my life again and stuff like that. And the moment I asked him for something, he told me no, the resentment came back. So I'm saying to myself, like, I haven't solely forgiven him. I haven't totally forgiven him. Otherwise, when he say he couldn't help me, then I just would have let that roll off. Like, okay, you can't help me. That's fine. Thank you anyway. But then that resentment came up. It was like, wow, you've never done anything for me. And at this moment when I asked you for a favor, then you still couldn't do it for me. Like, and then I started resenting him all over again. So that's why I thank God for the message today when he say, listen, it might seem hard, and there might be a lot of questions that go unanswered, but let that go. You have to let it go in order and to forgive in order for me to heal. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, me holding that resentment, here they're going on about their business, and I'm still angry. That's retarded. You know, that's retarded. And, I had a heavy heart. I lost a friend yesterday to cancer. He's a young man, 44 years old. And like we were saying, we can't question God. Yes, bad things happen to good people, but God still deserves his glory, you know. So, and it just, and around the holidays and all that stuff, people just, like I told them, the holidays are supposed to be joyous. And right now, to spread the love of Christ, you know, and people don't understand that shows through us. The love of Christ and his spirit and everything comes through us. So, you know, it can be very solemn for a lot of people, You know, sometimes it's hard to find the right words to say when people are in that position where they've lost a loved one around the holidays and stuff like that. What do you say to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are questions that I ask myself. What do you say to someone? You know, I still put the Lord in it or whatever. But, you know, a lot of people start, again, resenting holidays. Like, oh, I'm not in the spirit, or I'm down, you know, stuff like that. But, again, I'm grateful on today. I just thank the Lord to the highest for loving me even when I didn't love myself. Even when we have that down moment that we know weeping may endure for a night and joy will come in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't say how long that night will be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just thank God today for his spirit, for his Holy Spirit, his sacrifice, and for the wisdom that he gives us.
Amen. And I'm going to ask that we all, of course, just take a few minutes and just gather our thoughts with different things that we could say to someone and that we would say, and if everyone, you know, wouldn't mind sharing, what would you tell someone, words of encouragement of someone that did lose someone around the holiday, not just this year, if it was last year, year before, you know, what can you say to comfort them, you know, and their heart around the holidays? You know, because we do have a lot of people listening in, and I did mention that we do have one of our hosts, the Crossroad Temple, did lose a son. And, you know, it's here, it's holiday time. You know, I have one of my patients at my job who actually lost her grandmother, and she was, you know, I don't want to say locked up, but she's in a locked facility, and she wasn't able to go to the funeral, and it was just a whole big thing. So if everyone can just take a minute and just think of some words of encouragement that you can give to someone that is going through that that type of feeling at this time during the holidays. And then I do want to just point out that there's an echo on the line. I don't know where it's coming from just yet. But if everyone can just make sure that they, if they're on speaker, that they're not near any type of electronics and that there's no feedback coming from the phones because there is some echoes.
I heard an echo too.
Me too.
Yeah, so if someone can just, well, everyone can just check their phone. And I also just want to, while everyone is thinking of, you know, what words of encouragement to give, I'm going to bring on another caller as well so he can do the same thing.
Hello.
Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello. Elder Michael, you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
All right. How are you? We were just, well, welcome back to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, of course, firsthand. Definitely want to welcome you back and then just ask you if you wouldn't mind sharing your testimony or what you're thankful for this evening.
Well, the testimony I want to share today, for the last two Sundays, this has been my I just returned back to church because the doctor took me off my feet because I've been a diabetic for like 13 years. And what happened was an ulcer developed on my foot. And in order for it to heal, I got to stay off it. So he told me I had to use crutches for a couple of weeks and it would heal. It would take longer because of the situation. But it's healing, and I'm just thankful and so grateful to God to keep me on my legs to be able to go back to church today and last Sunday. But to me, Sister Levita, I take whatever the devil puts in me as confirmation that I'm on my path correctly and I'm walking upright righteously, because no matter what he does to me, I've been through some things, sister, and I shared this with you before about what I went through with my leg situations before, but I still stand on the word of God. So as long as I do that, I know everything's going to be okay, and God's going to do what He promised to do.
Amen.
But I'm just thankful and blessed to be on your show once again and just tell you how highly proud I am of you and what you're doing on a consistent basis.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And you're always welcome to come back, of course, and join us. And
I appreciate
also,
that.
The question that I just posed was we just had Angie call in, and she's with the GQ Palace family on the Diva Squad on Wednesday. And I just asked the question of what words of encouragement would you give to someone that has lost, you know, a loved one around the holidays? Not just this year. It could have been, you know, last year, year before, previous years. But what words of encouragement would you give someone?
Well, I think I would give the same words of encouragement that was given to me, because I had lost my grandmother on New Year's Day. Actually, I came in from hanging out in Times Square, and the first thing my mother told me when I came home was that your grandmother passed away, and that was New Year's. And I had to go to South Carolina for the funeral, and my grandfather actually did the sermon, and he was a reverend. And what he said to me was, he said, Keith, Grandma is in a better place, and what you have to do now is get yourself prepared to meet her at the reunion in heaven. And at first, it was kind of hard to swallow, because at that time, I was still of the world. So I took it the way a person would take it, as far as counting it as a loss. But then once you introduced me to being a homegoing and my grandmother going to the better place, which is with God, then I took his words of encouragement as to look forward and prepare myself to reunite with her in heaven, and then I know I'm going to see her again.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the person that you're talking to, who you're speaking to, if they have a relationship with God or just a belief in God, and then you have to follow it from there.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go to everyone. Everyone can actually answer.
Amen, Lavina. Amen, Lavina. I would say this. As one who has experienced, my mother passed away when I was 17 years old, so that would be 44 years now, near Thanksgiving. And what I can tell someone from this experience is that you have to allow yourself to grieve. And don't be concerned about the fact that how long it may take for you to go through that grieving process. It differs from person to person. But you have to allow yourself to grieve. And I would say that more so than anything, try to focus in on those good times, those things that are those joyous times that you have, your memories, your good
That's
memories
right.
that you're going to have for the rest of your life. And again, one of the things that I am assured of, and this is vitally important in the process of anyone grieving, but particularly when you lose a loved one, a family member, that one that is close to you around significant times, is vital, it's crucial for the family to come together. Amen. That's the source of strength that the person, a grieving person, is going to need. That actually will help you get through the grieving process. Of course, primarily, if you have a relationship with the Lord, that's going to help. But having a strong family will assist you in that process. And prayerfully, if you're in a relationship with the Lord, then you have a good church home and family, and they will help you as well. But you have to grieve. You have to allow yourself to grieve. And then at some point in time, you'll get to that state of mind where you've gone through the grieving process. Now it's accepting, and once you get to the state of acceptance, then you're able to go for you'll be able to go forth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're going to have moments. Don't ever think that you won't have a moment. Like I said, my mother passed away over 44 years. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, I had to make a declaration to myself, because I found myself, and this is why it's so important not to isolate yourself. I found myself, and it just hit me, that around Thanksgiving, Christmas, my mother's birth month, which is in March, and in May, Mother's Day, I went into a funk. And I went into a funk that just didn't last a day or 2 days or a week. It lasted months. And because those months were almost close together, that thing could take me into a year. It's only by the grace of God, and I tell people this with all sincerity, I don't care what your relationship is with the Lord, and certainly what title that you may think you have, that none of that is able to keep you the way that God can keep you. It's not only by the grace of God that I did not lose my ever-loving mind. Mm-hmm. And I never knew. I never consciously knew the severity of what I was going through until 2 years ago. The Lord hit me. Subconsciously, I had been carrying this here thing with me that I didn't even recognize. All through my life, from young youth all the way through up through now, I've been able to help people. The enemy was trying to tell me that, you know what, you help other people, but you couldn't help your mother. And I tell you this, if anyone has lost a loved one for whatever reason, don't blame yourself for what may have happened.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, if there's anything that happened in your relationship that was not as it should be, it's no sense of you sitting down here blaming yourself for what wasn't. Again, we can be remorseful about some things that we've done, but when you start blaming yourself and that which creates guilt, you'll never get through that grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
And it can devastate you. And some people, it takes out of here. So I would just share with anyone, don't allow yourself to get isolated. Allow yourself to go through the grieving process. And make sure, and prayerfully, you have family that will bind together, although we should be bound together at all times. But at this particular time, family really needs to come together. I'm a little hesitant about saying that. Family should be together all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They should be together all the time. But, you know, they should be bound together. And don't discount what a friend or somebody that's not a natural family person can do. God has a way of sending somebody to you that understands.
That's right.
Amen. I agree with the man of God that just spoke, because even as a woman of God, as a pastor, you know, pastoring people that do lose people during holidays or any day, it doesn't matter what the day is, whether it's a holiday or a regular day. Loss hurts, and that is the hurt that only you can get yourself through. You know, I lost my mother over 4 years ago. And I found myself about 8 years ago beginning to blame God for my mother not being with me through some of the most important times in my life, the greatest times of my life. But I realized that it wasn't to blame God, because that's called life. We were all born, and we're all going to die. We don't know when that day is going to come. But my encouragement to someone that even just loses someone, but particularly around the holiday, because people begin to resent that holiday. Mm-hmm. They go into their own pity party. They shut up and shut out from everyone. They blame Christmas season. It's a black season. It is not a black season. It's a joyous season.
Yes.
We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
so what if it was May the 1st? Does that make a difference as December 25th? You know, we have to help them to understand that, you know, oh, the Christmas season is dark. Wintertime is dark. Wintertime is when everything dies down to get prepared for the spring, for everything to come back forth. Mm. So, you know, as we are encouraging people that are going through loss, that don't blame the season, that these things will happen. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. It could be my last time speaking tonight. I don't know.
Yes.
But my thing is that I'm prepared if it is my turn. You know, and one thing that I learned as a pastor, sometimes people don't need you to talk to them when they're going through. They just need you to listen.
Yes.
Because the more that you begin to pour out and you begin to hear it, you are releasing your hurt. You're releasing your pain. And all of us knows what it feels like. If you put pressure on something, it hurts. But if you begin to let up off of it, then that pain seems to ease out of the way. So when people are going through and having pity parties, you know, if they don't ask for your help, then we just have to listen. You know, there are times even when I counsel during grief, people begin to tell me, I wish I had told Mama I loved her. I wish I told Daddy this. I wish I... Too late to wish. Therefore, we should live our lives every day. And people forget that major word, love.
Yeah.
We are to love one another. Christ loves us. He looks beyond our faults. He sees our needs.
if we say that we're believers and we're in Christ, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, He is our Father, then why don't we love people like He loves us?
Mm-hmm.
We say we have the heart of God and the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We say we have clean hearts, a pure heart and clean hands. Then why can't we love people?
Right.
Because that love, sometimes, you know, and we shy away from people that are going through because we feel inadequate that we can't help them.
Mm-hmm.
If the Holy Spirit abides within you, it doesn't matter what you think you can do. It's about
Amen.
What God does through you
Amen.
To bless
Amen.
Somebody
Amen.
That He may get the glory.
Amen.
But we go around having our own personal pity parties, you know, or somebody, it disturbs my spirit.
Mm.
When I'm witnessing to someone or they come to me for help or they're sitting in a room with somebody, and instead of listening, they start talking about all their problems. Well, that's not helping the person to come to you with a problem.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And right. to the young lady that was talking about resentment, I went through something this week. And in my pastor, I've been pastoring for 4 years, preaching for six.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself still, God, I'm under construction. I'm mm-hmm. a work in progress. Amen. And
Amen.
I thank God for that. Because every morning I yield my whole self to the Holy Spirit as I dress in the whole armor to go out and be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit comforts. It guides, it directs, it does multiple things within us if we let it.
Amen.
So, you know, you're talking about the resentment. There are times in our lives when we think that we've forgiven someone. There's times, see, sometimes we just put a cover over the wound, and the wound is not healed.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when we just put a cover over that wound is still open.
Mm-hmm.
And the covering over it is so tender that the least little bit of touch that doesn't feel right opens that wound back up.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we mm-hmm. can't heal these wounds of resentment on our own.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take the power of God to move that. And then we begin to blame. When people don't do things we want, then we rise up in the flesh and we push down everything about God in us.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a work. It is a work you go through. And I thank God, I thank my God, that He has blessed me. I am a person, I forgive before you even ask. And I keep on going. I hurt all the time. But guess what? I pray for those. I was falsely accused this week, and the Lord, through a couple of good friends of mine, said, stay the lip, stay the tongue. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord. And you know, I walked away from that thing, and I feel so good. And today, I could not wait to get, and I talk about that all the time. If God's done something for us, you give Him praise right there where you are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, then you can begin to let everybody see that victory. The victory. You know, so we just have to always be found being where He wants us. And in doing this season, a lot of times we don't help people that are grieving. Because we bring up old stuff too. You know, families get together, well, you know, if Mama was here, Mama's not here. Mm. What did Mama teach us to go on? Jesus left, but He left us what? A comforter.
That's
right. So as our loved ones, especially those that we lose are in Christ, you know what they taught you. If it's in your heart, then do it so that we can be a blessing to others. I just had to get that out because we could very easily, just like the man of God said, I was 17 when I lost my mother 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to be on the line with 6 years younger than me. But, you know, what about the children that are 2 and 3 that lose their mother? What about the babies that are born and the mother died childbirth? We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We have
mm-hmm.
to thank God for that time. And know that God will be a mother for you. He'll be a father. He'll be a sister. He'll be anything you need if you let Him. So
mm-hmm.
I just praise God for that. And during this season, we do need to, if you don't encourage a person, pray for them. Lift them up. Those of us that have lost loved ones, We just have to thank God for that time. And the little young man, you know, especially the loss of a child, it's hard to talk about something or to tell someone something you've never experienced it.
That's right.
And even if we've all on here have experienced the loss of a mother and father, each one of us went through that loss and that grief differently because of the relationship we may have had with our parents. So I just encourage everybody to have a blessed holiday season, to have a blessed day. You know, regardless of the holiday, somebody dies every day. Somebody dies every minute, every hour.
Amen.
So, and it's not a holiday every day. But every day is a day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
And he says we are to rejoice and be glad in it.
That's
Amen.
Right.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would anyone else like to give the words of encouragement? I don't know, Pastor, Pastor Holland. You took everything out of my mind. That's
he
sure.
summed it all up.
You said it all. I'm sitting here and I'm listening. I'm like, okay, I think I was going to say that.
I would like to share something.
Sure.
My dad, he passed on about 21 years ago. And it's been longer than that, but I had grieved my father for 21 years. And I didn't know I was in mourning. I did not know I was in mourning. And I was saved because I had gotten saved. His death brought me to Christ. But I was still hurting. I got saved, but I didn't get delivered. And so I carried a weight for a very, very long time until I met my apostle. About 12 years ago, I had met my apostle, and he looked at me, and he said, "You're in mourning." And I'm like, "I'm in what?" He says, "You're in mourning." Mm-hmm. He says, "When did your father die?" And I said, "Well, 21 years ago at that time."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You're in mourning." And I was like, "Wow." Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is, I had to deal with that. I had to deal with the pain because, like you know, the pastor was saying, you cover it, but it's such a thin lining of that covering is so thin. And so what happened was I had to deal with that issue. I had to get delivered and free, you know, get free from that mourning. And when I did, it was not even 9 months later, and I got a prophetic word. I heard a prophetic word that someone was going to lose a loved one. And I felt in my spirit it was my mother. And sure enough, it was my mother. And I was like, wow. I said, Lord, the Lord had to deal with me first to get healed from my father after 21 years to get ready to heal from my mother. And I was like, wow, that it was serious. But it was so quick that when my mother passed, she wasn't even here in the States. My sister had sent her to Nevada, and I live in Connecticut, and it was so quick. But what happened was the Holy Ghost had me minister to my mother before she went home. I was on the phone with her for 3 hours, and we were just talking. And my mother knew the Lord, and I knew my mother was saying goodbye, but I was ready. I was ready. And when they found my mother, her Bible was open to In My House, There Are Many Mansions.
Oh my.
And my cousin walked in the room and she smelled flowers. It was just roses, just floral. And I knew my mother had made it in. So the Lord had comforted me because I was able to get through my father. And then not even 9 months later, I had to deal with my mother. The Lord had prepared me for that. And I spoke at her funeral and I played the song by Bishop Morton, I believe, If You Could See Me Now. The Lord was just saying, if you could see your mother now, where she is. And it brought comfort because I knew my mother and my father were in a better place. And so from that point on, I celebrated their death. My mother died on her birthday. And that thing, it's like she died on her birthday. And I was like, Lord, I said, I know she's special. Both my parents were servants. And they taught me how to be a servant. And so from that point on, what I would do around the holidays is I would take a homeless person in, or I would go feed somebody. You know, I would take care of somebody else.
Amen.
I would be that servant that God called me to be. And I wouldn't look at my suffering, but I would look at the suffering of others. And that's how I teach my children. When that holiday, when Thanksgiving comes around, that was my mother's holiday, and Christmas comes around, that was my father's holiday, we would take care of somebody else. I'd open my door to someone else and bring them in and feed them, or go bring a turkey, or do whatever it is the Lord told me to do. If it was to go into prison, last year I went into, my son was incarcerated last year, last Thanksgiving, I brought a whole Thanksgiving dinner to the halfway house that he was living in. And that's how God taught me to get through my mourning. It was to give of myself. Just as he gave of himself, it was that perfect love. He said, perfect love casts out fear. So I had to get over the fear. And I had to walk in trust and believe God that I will see my parents one day, and they will be—they're in glory, and they're waiting for me to come. And anybody that I see or anyone, just know that God loves you, no matter what, no matter what you're going through, no matter the hurt or the pain. Remember the good times. Remember when they were here and how you celebrated when they were here, because they're always going to be in your heart. They're always going to be with you, so you just celebrate. Pick out something special that they did at the holiday. Do that thing. Do that special. This is my great-grandmother's rose or my mama's rose. This is what we do every Christmas or everything. Just pick one thing that your parents loved on the holiday. Make that one thing and carry it on, and let your children carry it on and say, this is what your great-grandma or your grandmama did. And this is how we remember her, because this is what she loved to do on the holiday. And that's how I get through my mourning. I would just become a servant and open up my heart and my life to someone else that doesn't have. There's parents, there's people that don't have anybody. Go to the hospital. There's people in the hospital that are dying alone. Be a hospice worker. Just be a servant, because it's not all about you. It's all about what Christ did. And you don't know, you may save a soul just doing that, showing God's love. Somebody that doesn't know Christ, just do what God tells you to do. Just have a heart. Have that servant's heart.
Could I just add something to what she just said that really hit me? I know everything that you said was beautiful, sis, and I'm just really happy to hear all of that, because the thing that stuck into my mind is that that message is for all of us, and there's a song that says, I give myself away.
Yes.
So God can use me.
Use me.
And then I'm also minded of what the scripture says. When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, when were you ever that? You've done it unto the least of them.
You've
done it unto me. And that should be the mantra for anyone that's a Christian. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord.
Lord, yes.
And I'm overjoyed with that. I love to hear messages like that, because that's why we're here. We're not here to do anything else but to serve Jesus Christ himself, God. When he said that I came to do the will of the Father, and they tried to put titles on him, he says, I am a servant. I came to serve. I do the will of my Father that sent me. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. I'm telling people these days, take on the spirit of Isaiah after the year that King Uzziah died. That 8th verse where he said, when the God asked, who shall we send for us? Who shall go for us? Isaiah only said these words, here I am, send me. He ain't asked questions, didn't ask what you wanted me to do, didn't ask how you wanted me to do it. He says, here am I, send me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the key. We forget that we are saved to be servants. We forget.
Amen.
Well, many people sit in a church and they want you to serve them.
And
it's sad because, you know, I tell my people, you know, I don't like to be separated on certain things, because I am but a servant as well.
That's
you go to some churches and I realize they want to set you aside. I like to mingle with our people. I like to sit at the table. I don't want my table to be up on a pedestal and we have the china and you eat out of paper plates. It don't work like that.
No.
Because somebody that may not be at the level of grace where we are won't understand that. They already feel like they don't fit in, don't have what we have. You know, I used to go to a church, we wore the hats and everything matched, and guys wore the suits, we drove nice cars, and we lived right behind a project. And we could never get those people in our church.
Come on.
So we came up with, why can't we dress down?
That's
well, even in our dress down, you know, we really wore our blue jean skirts or blue jean suits. But what happened is when they began to see us come down off our horses.
Come on.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. And began to see us for who mm-hmm. we should be, not mm-hmm. for who we thought we were,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
then they began to come in.
That's it.
But in one of my women in ministry meetings, I told the women, you still are not being yourself, your true self. You don't even know how to handle the prostitute, the drunk, or the drug addict
come
that comes in here
mm-hmm.
because you
mm-hmm.
still up on your high horse.
That's
they
it.
They don't come in here smelling
right.
like us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come in here looking like us. They don't
mm-hmm.
talk like us. You still looking down on them, and the devil
that's
is a liar.
I know that.
And Mark heard mm-hmm. the word said, whosoever will, let him come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people think that it means in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all came to Jesus and went about nothing. We're nothing but filthy rags in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we put ourselves that I got it going on now. Oh, I'm going to church. A lot of people go to church.
That's
they've
right.
been in church in the way of everything for 40 years. It ain't nothing in them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sad. So we mm-hmm. have to bring ourselves down. When we think about Christ, he didn't have to wear a crown to say, I'm the king.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
He didn't have to
Amen.
Wear Stacey Adams shoes and all these fine suits and drive a Mercedes to say,
come
I
on.
Am the king.
King, that's right.
He walked to where he had to go. Amen?
That's right.
He
Amen.
Got
Amen.
Down with the low and dirty.
Yeah.
And we got missionaries, hallelujah, running around in white. A missionary, if you are actually doing the will of the Lord, then you should be dirty. You don't need no pure white on.
That's it.
You get your pure white
that's
robe
right.
when you get to heaven, and he says, servant, well done.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Hallelujah. We get this thing backwards, y'all. We get it backwards.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We get it backwards. And that's true. When
yep.
you turn to the least of these, when we, in our own flesh, can lower it down and get down, you know, I thank God that tonight, think about it's cold. My girlfriend sent me a message that's online tonight. She said, it's so cold.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about it being cold, I think about, I have a roof over my head.
Yeah.
I have
mm-hmm.
heat in my home, but somebody
yeah.
does not.
That's it.
So and when I wake up and I thank God for my roof over my head and I'm heat, I'm warm, got running water and light,
mm-hmm.
I pray for those that are less fortunate
yeah.
than I am.
Yeah.
Because there are some tonight that are without shelter, but
mm-hmm.
their pride will not allow them to go into a shelter.
That's right.
And we've got to think about there are mothers out there with children
mm-hmm.
that are hungry,
mm-hmm.
that are not clothed.
My.
And it's sad. So, you know, during this season, if we want to feel sorry for anybody, it ain't us. It ain't
no.
about the Christmas
right.
presents
right.
under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about standing in line at 4 o'clock in the morning to get an Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not, nobody stands in line to
mm-hmm.
get in a church.
That's right.
Hello, and the door is always open.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We buy all these gifts for folks that don't like us. Trying to impress people and don't even need the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Let us give a gift unto the Lord. Let us give ourselves and to help somebody else. And I agree wholeheartedly with you, sis, that we need to do things in memory of our loved ones that love to do things for others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. I
want
to share my spiritual daughter had a fire. She left here Thanksgiving Day and went out shopping to prepare herself for moving into a new apartment. Now, look how the Holy Ghost moved. She went home, and her house was on fire.
Mm.
She called me, and I said, get your stuff and come. Her and her husband, I gave up my room. They stayed
mm-hmm.
in my room, and I moved in with my daughter and my granddaughter. In a week's time, God put them from the pit to the palace.
All right, ma'am.
She
so
got
good.
A home across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
The rent was $1,300 a month.
Mm.
He told the landlord, I'll take care of your maintenance work around here. And he said, better than that, the man told him, if you become my superintendent, I'll take $300 off the rent.
Look at God. Look at God.
Now, not only did she bless my household, but God blessed her.
Amen.
So it is all about being a servant and opening up your heart. It, you know, she. Now, let me tell you something. Her in-laws lived on the first floor. They walked out of their house. They had pulled out money out of their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're Christians. The mother walked away with $6,000 in her pocket and couldn't put them up in a hotel.
Wow.
This is you know, the heart. It's the heart condition. It's a heart condition. Now, the girl is blessed. She's blessed. Her husband got a beautiful job. They got a beautiful apartment. He went back to get some things. Now, look at how quick the devil moves in. He went back to get things out of his house, and he said he walked in the door, and he said the devil was having a party. He saw spirits running all over the place.
I know that's right.
They just took over the house that quick. But look at God. He made a way for them.
Yeah.
1 week they had to be uncomfortable. 1 week. And when she went shopping, she had left all her merchandise in the car. So she had all her stuff all ready for her apartment to move into a new apartment that she didn't know she was just going to get in a week's time. Set up for a blessing. What the devil meant for bad, God meant it for good.
That's
she
right.
wouldn't move
That's
when
right.
he told her to, so he moved her out to give her the
That's
best.
That's right. He'll do it. Amen.
Right.
He'll do it.
Amen. But, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, out there that just have to, you know, remember to hold on, you know, hold on and trust God because, you know, a couple of people, you know, that I know is actually, they're very impatient, you know, they're very impatient. And they want things like, okay, I've been struggling for so long, and, you know, why isn't this happening? I'm going to church, and I'm praying, you know. And the only thing I could tell them is, you know what, you got to trust God, and it's going to happen when he says it's going to happen, not when you want it to happen. You know, there's a
big difference.
His time
is not our time.
That's right.
His time is not our time.
That's right.
His ways are not our ways.
No.
And sometimes God wants us to learn patience.
And that's right.
You know,
right.
It's like our children. If we give them everything, they don't know how to appreciate it.
No.
You know, if we just give, there's no appreciation. Because it's a given thing that I'm going to get. But, you know, the harder we work for something, the harder we... I always say the greater the struggle, the greater the victory. And there is victory in Jesus.
Yes, there is.
And you know what else, too, Pastor? One of the things that I'm sharing with people as well, because a lot of times we're in such a hurry for a lot of things, and a lot of times we're in such a hurry for God to move us to another level. But this is what we need to know. God is not going to take you anywhere until you've come through where you're at.
That's it.
Until you've come through
there,
he's not
going to
move.
Well, and he offers too much to put you somewhere where you can't handle it.
That's right.
he knows your destiny, and he's not going to place you in a position that you're not prepared for.
That's right.
David had to go through. Talk about Joseph from the pit to the pulpit. From the pit to the palace, you've got to go through something. Even going through, you've still got to trust God the more. More that you trust God, the more God will trust you with.
That's right.
He takes the little things that we think are so mountainous are nothing to God. You know, and truly, to whom much is given, much is required. And God ain't gonna set you up to fail. He loves you too much.
That's right. And it's to our benefit. It ain't for his. Because God, like you said, he knows our end. He already knows the end of it all for us. And all what he wants us to give us to understand, well, we need to know how we came through where we came through. Because if you don't know, there's no way he's going to put you up somewhere where you have to deal with some new levels of not only what he's taking you to, but some new devils as well. You need to know how to come through where you're at.
That's right. And Apostle, I heard you say earlier about how people are so into titles. Okay, every Sunday I get up to preach, I am nervous. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel that. Who am I, God, that you would take the time out to prepare me to give a message to your people? Mm-hmm. I take it very seriously because, listen, I can make them or break them. If your flock loves you, you've got a little bit of control. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
You got a little, God has given you power and authority, but you also got some control.
Yeah, you do.
And you have to still treat those people right.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them, they're like, well, you never act like it, Pastor. Listen here, y'all don't understand. On Sunday mornings, I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Still, after 4 years, going on 6, 7 years of preaching, I still don't feel that, and it's not about the crowd.
Right,
it's about decreeing and declaring the word of God.
Come on.
So that word done beat me up first.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I had the opportunity to preach Luke 2, I preached 7C, and there was no room for him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at over 2,000 years ago. There was no room in the end for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And guess what? There's still no room for him in many individuals' ends, so they won't
come
let him
on.
In. There are. The government don't want him. The schools don't want him. At home don't want him. Nobody wants him. We kick him to the curb, and we only get him when we need him.
Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Is there really room for him in our end?
Wow.
What are we housing? You know, and I began to look around my kitchen this morning, and I'm like, I got everything in place, God. But I don't have room for anything else. And that's what made me think about, is it room in our hearts? What do we have? You look at hoarders. There ain't no room, but nothing else in there. But they keep on packing, packing, packing.
Yeah,
what do we pack the word of God in our houses? What do we pack the word of God in our children? We wouldn't have shootings in Colorado. We wouldn't have kids running around killing their parents.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
No room for him. And it's a sad story because there is no room for him. No room in our church life. We can't get up and go to church because it's snowing. But you let the alarm clock go off. You're going to leave 30 minutes early to get to work on time. Who are we really serving today?
Exactly.
Who are we really serving today?
Jesus.
There are schools of, there's no more morals. Gay marriages. Divorces. Sex education being taught to elementary children. Condoms and birth controls being given to teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving them a ticket to practice a marriage, and they don't even know how to spell it.
That's right.
That's right.
We're now saying that the girls can make your choice. You know, what are we doing? Our government is so wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Our government doesn't support what we say we stand on. One nation under God?
Oh, my.
Invisible? No, we didn't throw God out of that equation.
That's right.
And the money, and God, we trust. We as Christians don't even trust the money that the Lord allowed us to hold.
Come on.
Because we're scared to give him the 10. But let me tell you, he can take that 10. He can help you with that 9. He can do more. What is he giving us 10?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for him. But we've got to preach it. We've got to teach it. But most of all, they got to see it in us.
That's
right.
They got to see it in us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, have mercy. Thank you, God.
Amen.
We limit him. We limit God. We put him in a box.
Yes, we
do. You know, you can't do that. You can't do that. You know, he's all that. He's bigger than that.
Yes, he is.
And he's not the little genie that we call him. He ain't no Santa Claus.
I tell you one thing,
he knows that you've been naughty in life. I know that.
That's right.
He does know that.
Amen. Amen. And especially that stuff we can pray
with him all we want to. So the message is, you got to watch out.
Amen.
Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah.
That's right. And even with that.
God, hallelujah.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Even with that convenient amnesia we get. Amen. We forget that he got the lamb for the life. He got everything written
Amen.
Out.
Yes, that
bothers me. That bothered me about that person that stood before the Lord and thought they had to give him his resume. Didn't I not preach? Did I not do this?
Come on.
My God, you're talking to somebody that knows everything that you ever done before you even knew it.
Jesus.
Some stuff that you done completely forgot about.
I know you preached, I know you did this, I know you did that, but what about when I told you to do this? What about when I told you to do that, and you failed to do it because in yourself, you want a self-elevation. We have so many self-centered Christians.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all about me. I know it all. The pastor can't tell me nothing. The lay leader can't tell me nothing. The choir director can't tell me nothing. Sit down. Sit the choirs down.
Pastor Holland, God knows my heart.
Oh, yes, he does. And that's
come
what we forget.
Oh, come on. Jeremiah 17:9.
Knows the heart. You know it, that's for sure.
Amen. God knows my heart.
Jeremiah
17:9. Jeremiah 17:9.
He knew in the heart there wasn't enough room for his son.
That's right.
God, I thank you. Ooh, hallelujah, I feel good, y'all. Hallelujah, bless your name, God.
Amen.
May God be blessed to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless your name, God.
Amen.
God is faithful, y'all. He's faithful.
Yes, he is.
He is so faithful. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, he is.
Yes, yes. And I just want to mention before we the show is going to be ending prayer.
Thank you.
Apostle Perez is going to be ending in prayer at the 9 o'clock hour. But I just want to mention there is a lot of missing children out there.
I'm not sure
if anyone else has noticed, but I'm seeing a lot more than I've ever seen
before at one time.
You know, like every time there's a missing kid somewhere. It doesn't have to be, but it's all over. So I definitely just want to ask that in the process of our prayer that we do definitely just pray for their safe return, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, some might agree and some might not agree, but I'm also asking for prayer for the people that actually took these children. You know,
I'm asking for them as well. Amen.
You know, not just for the safe return.
But, because they got to be sick. They got to be sick, too.
Well, you know, something's wrong.
That's
you know, something's
true.
Definitely wrong.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that we, you know, that we say a prayer, you know, for everyone that's involved.
Yeah.
Everyone that's involved. Because it's a lot. I mean, I don't know. I'm on a lot of different websites, you know, doing my networking, and it's so many of them. I mean, MySpace, Facebook, they're all over. And it's not the same children. They're different children every time. So I just want to make sure that, you know, we definitely just pray, you know, for everyone that is involved, you know, in it.
Yeah.
And then I also just want to point out, Pastor Holland, you were saying a lot of different things. And when I tell you a lot of things that, you know, as I, you know, go through my daily routine and, you know, the storms that I face on a daily basis, you know, you run into people and the first thing they say is, okay, well, I don't have the proper attire, you know, to go to church, you know, or they say, okay, I can't go in there with jeans and sneakers on, you know, I can't do that. And I said, you know what, last time I checked, I thought it was come as you are. Not come dressed up down to the T with a $100 suit on or $200 suit on just to come in. No, you're supposed to come as you are, and you're supposed to be welcomed as you are. And we have to remind people that it's not a fashion show that, you know, when you go into church, it's not a fashion show. You're supposed to go to hear the word.
That's right.
If you're so caught up on what you have on and what the next person next to you have on, then how are you hearing the word? Because you're so caught up in the fashion statement or the gossip that's going on in church, you know. And, you know, I just also want to, you know, point out that, you know, we have a lot of people listening in, and I just want everyone to understand that everyone is welcome, you know, here at GQ Palace. As you see, we come together on one accord and in unity, and this is the format that God has set up for us, and we're just thankful, and we're all willing participants and willing servants to do his work. With that being said, I just want to bring on another caller as well. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello? Hello? Nakia. Nakia must be watching the game. It must be a game on right now.
Yes, but you know it's about time for her game to be on.
Yeah, it must be a game on right now. But Kia, you are on the air, so at any time, of course, we welcome you here at the GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, but you are on the air, so you can, of course, just speak when you would like to, but you are on the air with us. So definitely on that note, when she's ready to come on, she'll come on. She's our sports person. She's the one woman I know that knows sports left and right, but she'll make sure she's in church every Sunday and watching her sports at night. So definitely, kid, you know, you can call back in and, you know, of course, press the one button and put you right on the air. We welcome you. So with that being said, we're winding down. It's about 8:42 at this point. Does anyone have any announcements that they'd like to make of anything that they're working on that they would like the callers and listeners to participate in? I know Apostle Perez, he mentioned that he has a prayer line, which Apostle Perez, I didn't know that. You're going to have to start sharing that on my wall, because I didn't know that, and I'm active with the prayer lines. I call in and I support.
Amen.
Me
too. Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have to make sure that you give the information. I think this is Kia calling back in, so everyone just hold the line. Kia.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi,
Kia.
Hey guys. I'm sorry, just bad area I was sitting in and stuff like that.
It's okay. Well, welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. I didn't say that first, but welcome. I know it was you. How are you today?
I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. It was just been a long week for me, you know. My cousin got married yesterday, so I was in a wedding yesterday in all snow, and, you know, God is still good. It turned out beautiful yesterday.
Thank you.
In spite of the snow. I'm just thanking God for life, health, and strength. Thanking God for family, safe travels here. A lot of family members are stuck here, can't travel back just yet. So, you know, we just blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Definitely amen. And I had just mentioned, I said, Kia is one of the only women I know that know sports so much. Because Lord knows you know a lot of sports, Kia. I just want to point that out. She does. She knows a lot about sports.
Yeah.
It amazes me every single Tuesday when I hear her on the air and she's talking about sports. And I'm going to learn one day about some sports, but I'm going to learn about, but I've learned how to listen to the sports, see?
I know. I said let me call in now, you know, because you know my game is about to be on in a few minutes.
What I tell you?
Oh, we just said that. About to come on.
Yeah, her
like
Pittsburgh
so,
Steelers.
It's just so my little.
All right. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Who is that?
That's all in Steeler Nation.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Oh, well, listen, I'm a sports fan too now. Don't forget that.
Well, I know you are.
It's so funny how my cats always say, well, wait a minute, Steelers playing at 8 o'clock tonight, so I got full attention here today.
Mm-hmm. After 8 o'clock, Pastor. Mm-hmm. After 8 o'clock, Kia is focused. But it's about 8:45 now, and we, of course, we thank everyone for calling in. Apostle Perez, if you can give your information out to your prayer line that you have, so that some of us, you know, we do have the listeners, callers, listeners, special guests, anyone that is, you know, able to call in and share the experience with you, if you can give that information out to everybody. Apostle Perez? Must have lost him at some point in time.
Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord.
I have me and my three-year-old son. He's been acting up. Pray for him. His brother Caleb. He's been running around. I tell you, these kids, man, they're very intellectual. I used to remember a time when they used to be born with their eyes closed. Now they'll be born with eyes open. That lets you know how advanced these kids are, I tell you. And we have to be very careful what they watch on TV and even the cartoons, because some of those cartoons are quite advanced. They're quite advanced now.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick up on words. They're like sponges. They pick up on words that is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to add something very quickly. I didn't, because I heard people giving words of comfort, you know, pertaining of a love. And we got into so many subjects, and I thank God for all of it. But so I just stood very quiet because I was asking the Lord, Lord, what can I say? Because everybody basically has covered everything. and the Lord reminded me how powerful prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we limit the power of prayer. But you see, the Bible, there's a scripture that says the prayer of the fervent, first of all, it says the fervent prayer of the righteous.
Say it,
sir. Hold on a minute. Caleb, I'm on the phone. Okay, I'll give you water in a minute. All right?
Letting you know.
So, I mean, the Bible says the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, right? That lets me know that that there's people that must be passionate and pray with the same consistency, insistency, and persistency as they pray for their own self.
Mm-hmm.
The same way they pray with the same consistency, persistency, and insistency for their own self, that's how they should pray for others. And
that's
I think that we need to develop a prayer that is not selfish. We need to learn how to really get into intercession.
Yes,
prophetic intercession, like back in the days when the old mother saints used to be on the altar, and then used to pray at the altar. You know what I'm saying? We need to get back to that, okay? Because a lot of our prayers are selfish. This is a selfish generation.
Yes,
even leaders are selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you try to ask for some kind of information, they give you the rah-rah-rah. Well, I don't remember. Well, I don't know. Well, let me see, where can I find it? And I mean, so much running around. It's like nobody's really willing to give. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Gratefully. And it's time to stop that. And I think that what's going to moderate that is when we start praying those selfish, wicked prayers. The Bible says in James 4, that verse 3, says, we pray and we ask and we don't receive because we pray wicked, selfish prayers.
Mm-hmm.
This carnal motivated prayer. We need to learn the concept and the revelation, and get the revelation that if I pray for my brother and sister, thus I'm praying for myself, because that blessing will become reciprocate back onto me.
That's
because
right.
We're one body. We're one body. So, I mean, and when you really become a true genuine intercessor, it comes to a point that you begin to pray for others, and you just begin to trust God that he's going to handle your business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's the first thing. But on that note, I wanted to say, you know, the Bible speaks about that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. There's family members that we think, because we got to be truthful. Unfortunately, not everybody that dies goes to heaven. We have to face the facts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You will spend eternity somewhere, in heaven or in hell. But there is a promise to a believer. There is a promise. Yeah, I got to tell you the truth. There is a promise to the believer. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your house, you and your household shall be saved. Especially that mother, that woman that's been crying, shedding tears, fasting, crying, forgot to save her children, her grandchildren, her nieces, her nephews, whatever.
Yes, Lord.
And you see that all of a sudden they die unexpectedly in a freak accident. And you'll be like, oh, my God, they went to hell. Not necessarily. Can I let you know that there's going to be surprises in heaven?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Yes,
see, that's why you need to continue to plant that seed of the word. Honey, remember the Lord loves you. I don't care what situation, condition you find yourself in. Remember that you belong to the Lord. Remember that I got you. Remember that I'm praying for you. When you got prayer, let me tell you something. The Bible says, listen to this revelation. We all claim that Solomon went to heaven. Am I right? We all believe that as believers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But never in the Bible do you find that Solomon repented.
No.
Please find your scripture. Never. Matter of fact, when you go to 1 Kings chapter 10 and chapter 11, please read it at your leisure time. I'm giving you scripture. It says that God raised two enemies all the days of the life of the king Solomon while he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
One was Jeroboam, and the other one was the the Assyrian. The Bible said they were his enemies all the days of his life until he died. Now watch this. The scripture says that when your ways are pleasing before the Lord, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you.
Yes.
But this was not so with Solomon. Come on, somebody.
Uh-huh.
This was not so with Solomon. The Bible says he died having these enemies, mortal enemies that wanted to kill him. Why? Because Solomon never repented. Now watch this. Watch the text of Revelation. If we believe that Solomon went to heaven, it must have been because of the covenant that God made with David and because of David's prayer. My God, today. Can I tell you something? Your prayer is so powerful that can get some folks out of hell. And I'm going to let you know right now, there's some cousins, there's some nieces, there's some nephews, there's some sons, there's some daughters that you thought that they were in hell, but when you go to heaven, you're going to see them there, and you're going to say, well, how you got here? Well, Mama, your prayer got me through. My God, today. I'm trying to encourage somebody. You tell me that God, if God is good, you're shedding tears, you're praying, you're fasting, and God is going to allow. Let me tell you, sometimes the way out to their deliverance and salvation is for God to take them out of this earth.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Come on.
And he knows they're going to serve them if God keeps them alive. Come on, somebody. If God got to take them out. Come on.
Amen.
On. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Read it for verse 9. It says that someone will be saved like by fire. Okay? They will get a crown, but no reward. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I want to get, I could go deeper. I could give you more scripture. But let me give you a final scripture. The Bible says that if there be any sick among you, call the elders, and the elders will pray the prayer of faith. And if there be any sin, notice it say if they can repent it. Notice that it says, it don't say if they come confessing their sin. Notice that then it say if they actually, they say automatically their sins will be forgiven. Hello?
All right.
That's not very powerful. So I'm going to encourage somebody who thinks your son is in hell and your daughter, no, sir, no, ma'am. You shed tears for them. You cried. You've been fasting for their salvation, for that niece, for that grandchild. You will see them again in heaven. Remember David? He fasted so God could spare the life of his son. And what did he say? I can't, he can't come back to me, but I will go back to him.
Amen.
So I want to encourage somebody, amen, that's saved, that's serving God. You've been praying for your child, and you loved them, and they never publicly accepted Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth. Now, it's up to you to believe it or don't believe it. I believe God's word, point blank. I'm praying, I'm fasting. I've done the best I could. I gave the best of my example. I'm praying, I'm fasting. I'm not playing games. I'm not living a double life. I'm living a holy life. Come on, somebody. I don't got sugar in my tank or a little girlfriend on the side. No, no. I'm a fully married man, faithful to my wife, faithful to God. I'm going to be real.
Amen.
Living for God.
Amen. Amen.
Don't promise it. Attend to me, too. Amen. So I just want to tell somebody, amen, you will see your family members again. You will see them in heaven. Because your prayer is that powerful. That's why the devil don't want you to pray. Because prayer is that powerful. There's no limit for prayer. If we believe that Solomon went to heaven, it was because of the covenant God made with David and because of his prayer. Jesus said, lo, behold, I shall be with you. Now, the real translation, because we got this modern translation that says, I will be with you until the end of your life. No, no, no. The real, in the original Greek and Hebrew, it says, Jesus said, I will, lo, behold, I will be with you always until the end of the earth. That means that even after you die, your prayers have been stored up in heaven. Because some prayers, they're stored up in heaven to become manifest at the greatest crisis. Your prayers cover your children, your generation, and your future generation. Hello.
Amen.
God bless you all. That's all I want to say. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, real quick,
amen.
Fast,
Quit Fast and Hurry, Apostle Perez. I like that because there's three illustrations to support exactly what he said. Two out of the book of Job. The Bible says that Job prayed for his children just in case.
Yes, yes, he did.
I might have been doing
yes.
something wrong.
Yes.
And then God himself told Job, pray for your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Jesus told Peter, he says, you know what? Satan desires to sift you all like wheat. But Peter, I prayed for you.
Yes.
Come on. That's a revelation.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
We've come to that point of the show where it is the end of the show. So at this time, I'm just going to, I want to thank all the callers, all the listeners, of course, both of my wonderful special guests. Thank you both. Both of you guys truly have been missed. And, of course, please remember you're always welcome back anytime. I also want to ask if anyone has any announcements that they want to make at this time. You can please make those announcements now. If after the announcements are done, we're going to end in prayer with Apostle Perez. If anyone has any announcements.
Sister Levine Perez, woman of
yes.
God, may I announce the prayer line?
Yes, yes, please.
Okay. I extend a cordial invitation to our prayer line, amen, every Wednesday and every Friday, early in the morning from 5:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., amen. The dial-in number is 712-432-3066. 712 is the other code.
Please.
Yes, ma'am. The dial-in number is... Yes, 712...
Mm-hmm.
432-3066 is the dialing number. Area code 712-432-3066. And the access code number is 766-415. 766-415. That's every Wednesday and every Friday from 5:30 a.m., 7 a.m., or sometimes we extend it to 7:20 a.m. That's Eastern time. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. So all those that desire to join, you can join us. Amen.
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 What's that access code again, Apostle?
The access code is 766-415. 766-415. Area code 712-432-3066.
Amen. Does anyone have any other announcements? All right. So at this time, I'm not going to give the call-in numbers because I don't want to be wrong. But you guys can also look on Facebook for Apostle Marcus Dupree has Eagle Wings Ministries. That's on Facebook. You can find him under Apostle Marcus Dupree on Facebook. Very powerful prayer line as well, as well as Partners in Prayer Ministries. I'm on that one faithfully, but now that I have others, I'll definitely be tuning into those as well. And a lot of the prayer lines is actually when I'm driving in the morning. So I'm always listening in to Apostle Marcus Dupree, and I'm always listening in to Partners in Prayer. So it's truly a blessing. It helps me every day, and I definitely encourage everyone to call in if you can. Partners in Prayer Ministry is on Facebook, and that's under Evangelist Angela Parker. She does have to accept your friend request, and then she'll give you the information because from Monday to Thursday is the real Partners in Prayer. That's the people that are serious about praying, you know, every day, getting up at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, you know. So from Monday to Thursday, those are the ones that call in faithfully, and they're on there praying every single day. And now we do have Apostle Perez, his information as well for Wednesday and Friday starting at 5:30 Eastern time. So we can definitely, all the callers and the listeners, you guys can definitely enter into that prayer line as well. Those are the three that I now know about. If anyone else has any announcements, you can please mention it. If not, we're going to end in prayer. Pastor Holland, do you have anything coming up? I should have actually asked you the question at the beginning part of the show, which was just to tell them a little bit about you and well, the big accomplishment that that me and T talk about of how you were the first black pastor in Virginia. So if you wouldn't mind
sharing that
little bit of information for us. In West Virginia.
I am just grateful. I believe in old school way of teaching and everything. So on next Sunday, I'm grateful to say that our youth department will be presenting a Christmas pageant. You know, so much of Sunday school and Christmas pageant, Easter cantatas, Easter plays, all that is lost on our children. So, you know, I'm still a little bit old school. So I still incorporate that, and I'm just so proud of our young people and our church, you know. And we're just going forth in Jesus' name, and God is still giving us the vision. For those that may not have heard my testimony, the Lord sent me. I was ready for retirement. I was ready to go one way, and the Lord sent me. I was ready to go south. The Lord sent me east, amen. And the Lord was able to just bless that, and 4 years, he's just done such great things, and I'm reminded that he is God, and he can do anything, and that I try to be very faithful unto what God tells me to do, and, you know, our church stands on the scripture text, where there is no vision, the people perish, and so, you know, so I want to teach, preach, and reach in the city. This is a strange city, very, very strange city. It's a culture shock to me, but, you know, I get lonely and I cry sometimes. I'm like, Lord, I'm not used to this. But I realize that in our ministry, God's not going to always send us into beautiful areas and everything is hunky-dory and you've got all the fine things in life. Sometimes you got to get down to the nitty-gritty, and that's when you truly learn to lean on the Lord. So I'm just grateful for what God is doing, and I'm expecting God to do some mighty works and mighty acts in the new vision.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has blessed me to break tradition through his word. Amen.
Amen.
Being a Baptist church, you know, I'm not very well respected here in the area because many of the brethren still feel that we're just to have babies and stay at home.
Definitely.
And God has a great work for all of his sons and daughters. Amen. Even
mm-hmm.
those who
Amen.
Still have babies and stay at home. But
mm-hmm.
They don't accept women. I am the first black female Baptist pastor of a Baptist church in southern West Virginia. There are only
mm-hmm.
three Baptist preachers, women, in the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
That lets you know where our state is.
That's right.
And I thank God. I thank God for, you know, and I don't carry that around because that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm
That's
just grateful
right.
he chose
Amen.
Me. I'm like Mary. I am glad he found me faithful.
That's
and
right.
that he can use me, you know, that
yes.
I was highly favored to be the first woman in southern West Virginia to pastor a Baptist church. And I
Amen.
Thank God that he's teaching me how to handle the oppression. He's teaching me how to handle the brethren. But I thank God for the relationship. I thank him that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I thank him that I go, come boldly before him, and I go boldly before those that come against me as well with the word of God.
Amen.
So I
Amen.
Just thank God for what he's doing. And I do desire your prayer that we'll just be found faithful doing what the Lord would have us to do. And
Amen.
I don't rush the kingdom building because he said that if he be lifted up, he would draw all men. So we're just going to keep lifting him up. We're in the heart of the city, and our church is really in the center of the city. And it is a refuge center as far as I'm concerned, because all the downcast, all those that have been cast aside, when they come, we welcome them. Amen. And
Amen.
I just
Amen.
Thank God for doors open, and I just desire your prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you,
Amen.
Nancy.
Amen.
I love you too. Thank you,
oh,
Nancy.
I actually called out a couple of names. For prayer, and I do, of course, call out one more, my fiance, Richard Archibald, who just came home from the hospital on Wednesday. He has been really sick lately, and, of course, just, you know, just asking for prayer I'm going to put a phone call out to Elder Keith Michael. He did mention that, you know, he was a diabetic for 13 years, and I think it would help the situation for, you know, for Rich to speak to someone who is a diabetic as well, you know, as well as someone, you know, anyone that is, you know, sincerely, you know, compassionate to understanding exactly what he's going through, as you know, along with other, you know, medical issues that he has as well. So if everyone can just please keep him in your prayers as well.
Amen.
We're going to go to Apostle Perez to close in prayer. Thank everyone. I thank everyone for calling in tonight. I thank everyone for the continued love and support. And I just thank everyone for coming together on one accord and in unity, and for allowing us to have a wonderful show. And, of course, we owe it all to the man above for just making everything possible. So we're going to go to Apostle Perez to end in prayer.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. First of all, we thank you, God, for everything that was said and done. We give you the honor. We give you all the glory, Father, and we ask, God, that you may continue to bless your servant, the prophet, the woman of God, Levi and Polite, who has hosted, moderated this awesome session, oh God, of Bible discussion, prayer, and how you have led her graciously, Lord, to lead us, oh God, and to get us to convene us together in one accord and one spirit. Father, I pray that you may bless every pastor here on the prayer line, and
Thank you,
I'm asking for healing for Elder Michael, and I'm asking even that your Holy Spirit may comfort Brother Hunter, though I don't know him personally per se. But Father, it is a sad thing to lose a family member, oh God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, use the name as a comforter, may comfort him right now at this hour in the name of Jesus. We come against every oppression, depression, and any dark cloud of heaviness. Father, we pray the same manner that you comfort Holy Spirit Jesus while he was on the Garden of Gethsemane. I pray that same comfort may fall on the man of God and upon every woman and every man of God that's on this prayer line that's going through, Lord, silently. Sometimes, Father, because we are leaders, we're afraid to share our inner struggles.
Jesus.
You may break chains, that you may break shackles. And, oh, God, that, oh, God, somehow, Lord, you may set us free. Invade our dream world, oh, God. Speak to us in our dream. Encourage us. Show us a sign for good. Show us a sign for good. Give us an incentive, oh God, that may encourage us, especially those that are going through financially, oh God, through financial hardship. I pray, oh God, that whoever got court cases, oh God, that it may be speedily, oh God.
Yeah.
Whoever got any situation going on that's owed money, I pray, oh God, that it may be released unto them, oh God. Yeah. Any grant, oh, Lord, any future grants, oh, God, for programs, for churches, for themselves. Lord, I pray that you may provide. Lord, we activate your angels according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits that minister according to those that inherit heaven. Psalms 34:7 says the angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear your name. Psalms 91:8-11 says you will charge angels over us so our feet will not tread upon a rock. You said in your word in Psalms 108, verse 20, that the angels respond to the command of our voice. Lord God, we activate your word, for you said in your word in Isaiah 43, verse 26, come, let's reason together. Remind me of my promises. Lord, in other words, you say, let us sit down at the table and let us negotiate. Father, we call on your precious name, for you said, call upon me and I shall respond. You said in Isaiah 65, verse 24, that as we speak, you will hear thee, and as we talk, you will answer thee. Lord, Father God, I pray that you may answer. Open up the heavens. Dear Jesus, my mediator, my intercessor, my high pontifice, my lawyer, my advocate, one that prays for me. I submit everybody's petition that's on this prayer line right now, on this wonderful radio broadcast. Lord, and I submit Elder Mike, I submit Brother Hunter, I submit every pastor that's here to the sound of my voice. I submit their petition. I submit their needs. I summons your services as our advocate, as our lawyer. And I'm asking you, Jesus, pray for us. For we know that no prayer that you make unto the Father shall be denied.
Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you in advance, that it is done for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus for your glory. For your glory, because it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. I ask, oh God, that even for Sister Levine, for like, oh God, that you may continue to strengthen her. Lord, empower her. For lately, she's been taking hits from the enemy. Because, Father, any time we do these lines that encourage the people of God to come and raise us up. But, Father, I know that you're by us. I know that you worked it out. I know, Father, that you make things new. I know that favor and mercy, Lord, is upon her life. Father, and I thank you. Remove every blockage. Remove every hurdle from her life. Every impediment. Let it be a cutting away of the flesh. Remove people that don't need to be around her, oh God. Surround her with people that celebrate her destiny, her purpose, her assignment, her anointing. Lord, the Christ in her. Oh God, that she may move forward. For this is the season to move forward. Lord, everything that's been backed up in her life, I pray, Lord, that you may move at warp speed in her life right now. And I bless her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless her, God. I bless her coming and going, her sleeping as she wakes. Oh God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I send every word cursed that has been sent against her, Lord, I send it right back to its original sender, and I decree and declare that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. Father, we bind every witch and every warlock in the name of Jesus. We bind every optical projection and every spirit that is not like the spirit of the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord God of Israel, Akaban, Sabut. We command Shokima, Shokima, Shokaya, my God, to do. Lord, we bind every spirit, every monitoring spirit, every monitoring spirit. We command you to be deaf, dumb, and blind. You will not hear into our prayers. You will not see our prayers. You will not talk our prayers. You will not tap into our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and I put a hedge of protection around everyone's home right now, around their children, around their finances, around their property, around their cars. Oh God, and not only do I cancel every demonic assignment, but I destroy it, because if we just cancel it, it can reschedule itself. And we don't want nothing rescheduled. So we destroy every plan of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we ask for fire from heaven to burn the plans of the devil. Burn every altar, oh God, that we've made, every secret covenant that we've made, conscious and unconscious, oh God. Burn it up, oh God. Destroy it and lift up every generational curse off of us. By the power of your blood, we plead the blood right now. The blood of Jesus right now. We plead the blood, oh God. And all over this telecast and this radio cast, we plead a bloodline, the blood of Jesus. Lord, all over our bloodline, Father, our generation, and we call it blessed. In Jesus' mightiest name. Ignite our prayer life. Anoint us with spirit of prayer, fasting, seeking on you, putting us a revival in our spirit, an eternal revival, a fire in our bones, God. And I rebuke every death, in the, every premature death. The devil is a liar. I decree and declare that so you shall live and not die, to declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. I said, heal it right now. I activate Isaiah 53. Says that by your stripes we already heal. I speak for that word, and the word will not turn void, but it will accomplish and it will fulfill that which it has been sent for. In Jesus' name, call it done for your glory, because it is in your name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all. God bless you all.
God bless you too, sir.
God bless you all, and have a blessed and safe week. And we look forward to speaking to everybody next week.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for the invitation. God bless.
You're welcome.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Molly, let's go get him.
Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. For that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that, give me that.
Oh-oh-oh. Anybody ready?
Oh-oh-oh.
Ready for his glory?
Oh-oh-oh.
If you are sick of a life,
oh-oh-oh.
Let
Let me tell you the story. Uh-oh. Every place that's dark, uh-oh, he will bring it to light. Uh-oh. Hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars, time to get right. Uh-oh. See, I include myself. Uh-oh. I cast my own stone. Uh-oh. I'm the man in the mirror, y'all. Uh-oh. I can see my wrong. Uh-oh. But I'm here by grace. Through Christ by faith. Uh-oh. I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. Hold that love that'll never change. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Oh, anybody tired? You want the show to end? Get the actors off stage and let church begin. Do you want a revolution? You want to hear a new song? See, God is cleaning up house, and first he's starting right at home. No more miracle water, prayer cloths for money and fame. See, everybody got a title. But do you know your name? If we humble ourselves, people, fall on our face, and ask God everything in me that's not right, take it away.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, I want the power to walk away. Another God wants to take your place. As much of you, Lord, as I could take.
I see you.
Give me that.
One more time.
Give me that.
One more time.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. And it's your peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, give me the power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that. Nostrils of man, and sovereign God who predestined creation before time began. I want the God who with brilliance and elegance decorated darkness with stars. The God who orchestrates the future, at the same time he knows where you are. Give me that God who supplies my needs, cause he owns all the cattle on the hill.
Yeah.
And he's the God who wipes my tears, every father enough to pay all my bills. And give me that God, that's the God I'm talking
give
about.
Me
give
God.
Me that God, that's the
How
God I'm talking
that
about.
God?
Give me that, give
Let's
me that,
go.
Give me that.
That joy I can't explain. I'm at a loss of words now. I'm so happy you make me happy now. Yeah. Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll add extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Oh, give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.